What's up, everybody? It's your boy Jamon Bolton. Welcome to another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. But let's jump right into it. Let's talk about the NBA playoffs. The Houston Rockets up 3-2 in the series against the Warriors. It looked like, you know, it was a dogfight last night. That's all I'm going to say. It was a dogfight. It was a good old-fashioned dogfight. You know, they got after it with each other. You know, they went after it. They were trying to kill each other last night. Not really, you know, not physically, but it was just a sloppy game. Nobody really played great last night. The way I look at things, it was an amazing game, I thought. I mean, it was one of those classic playoff games where you say, yo, this is a good game. We're going to remember it for a while. Neither team played particularly well. I mean, the Rockets shot poor as hell, 37% from two, 30% from three. You know, they shot by almost 85% from the free throw line. The Warriors shot 44% from two, 38% from three, 87% from the line. They just couldn't execute down the stretch. You know, you look at things, you know, Kevin Durant was 8-for-22. He made all 10 of his free throws and finished at 29, but he had 25 at the end of the third quarter. He has to do a better job, obviously. You know, Draymond had that little mistake at the end. You know, one thing that really stood out to me was that Quinn Cook jump shot. Quinn Cook took a jump shot, and it was like, dude, you don't take that shot. You shouldn't be taking that shot. You know what I'm saying? Just because I don't feel like, you know, when you got Steph Curry to your left, you got to be a little smarter about that. You know what I mean? I get it. You're in there. You're trying to make a play. You're trying to get remembered and whatever the case may be. But right now, it's all about that championship chase. You know, they got to get more from their bench. You know, you got to utilize who you have on the bench. Nick Young, 1 minute. I mean, Steve Kerr will never criticize him because I think he's a great coach. He's a damn good coach. He's one of the best coaches we have in the NBA. And a lot of people don't really give, you know, I know a lot of people quickly say, oh, Mark Jackson built the team. I get it. But sometimes, you know, certain people, they have certain things that kind of get you over that hump and help take the team to the next level. So I think that's the case as far as in regards to Steve and everything like that. So, you know, for me, the way I see things, the way I look at things, got to be a little smarter. Utilize JaVale McGee. You know, you got Zaza Pachulia. You know, if you got six fouls, utilize them, man. Make people think about coming into the damn lane. Zaza's a big body. JaVale McGee's athletic. You know, he's a freak of nature out there. He can get out there and give you a little bit more than Looney can. And I don't think anything's wrong with Looney. You know, Looney took two shots, had 4 points, things of that nature. But you kind of got to hit him. You got to – it's that firepower. You got to come out hitting on all cylinders. You know what I mean? You kind of have to really go after it. And you got to put your foot on their neck while they're down, man. 4 points from the bench is very unacceptable. You know, Sean Livingston, he took three shots last night. I expected them to get a little bit more. You know, when you get to Houston, I like what they're doing. I like how they look, I should say. You know, James Harden, 5-for-21, you know, 0-for-11 from three. But look, he made all nine of his free throws. CP3, he had a great second half, 18 in the second half. Eric Gordon, 24 off the bench. Jarrett Green hit a few big threes. You know, he all through his field goals with 3-pointers. You know, he had 9 points. You know, but they go 7 deep. My thing is, how effective is that going to actually be? You know, they go 7 deep. And right now, Chris Paul, he just announced, you know, Bleacher Report, he's out for game 6. Not saying that's a guaranteed game. You know, it's a guaranteed W for the Warriors. But you kind of have to look at it and say, listen, you know, what's really good? You know, what's really good? You know, we're sitting there. We're getting after it. We're 7 deep now. Who steps up now? So is it we gonna go six? You gonna go 6 deep now? You know, I don't know what Joe Johnson can give you. I don't know what, you know, Mumba Mute can give you. I don't know what Nene can give you. Ryan Anderson. I don't know. If I was Mike D'Antoni, I wouldn't sit there, man, and go crazy, man. If you try to go 6 deep, man, that's gonna be a rough one, man. I don't really see it as being a smart thing to do. Playing everybody. I mean, you go with what makes you better. What gets you there? Do what you got to do. My personal opinion, if I got some shooters on that bench, I mean, I don't know what Joe Johnson has left. But, you know, you got to utilize it, man. You got to be smarter about it. You know, but all around, you know, they played crappy, but they made the shots that made, you know. Again, it's like I like to say, the Rockets and the Warriors, it's almost like boxes. There's certain boxes, you know, like in certain boxes, you know, styles make fights is what they say. It's like the best person I can use, the best analogy I can use is almost like Manny Pacquiao and Juan Manuel Marquez. You know, Marquez. You know, he's the one that gave Manny Pacquiao those tough fights. So when Pacquiao was out there knocking everybody out and he had his quick rise in boxing, you know, everybody who's a boxing enthusiast, you knew who he was. But, you know, when it became mainstream, I should say, he was beating everybody and all the big names. And then all of a sudden, it's like when he fought Marquez that last time, I was like, oh, shit, it's a tough fight. And then, boom, Marquez hits him and knocks him out and lays him out cold. It's almost like the same thing here. You know, Houston had a better record, but I don't think they're a better team than Golden State. Golden State was nicked up. Steph was out a lot. You know, they just nicked out. It's almost like, look, we've had a deep run the last 3 years. You know, this is the fourth year in a row where they're playing deep into the season. You know, it takes a lot out of you. You know, with those guys, Steph, Klay, Draymond, they're exhausted. They've been there for all of this. You know, KD played a lot of ball at OKC and was the number one, you know, the number one option. But now it's like everybody's giving you their best shot. As I noted, as I said before, Daryl Morey built this team to beat the Rockets. I mean, to beat the Warriors. Now, I always said, your idea shouldn't, your model shouldn't be to beat this team. It needs to be to get out there and to win a championship and compete for a championship. Obviously, Golden State is in the path. They're in the way. You do what needs to be done, and you do it, you know, you do it accordingly. But don't sit out there and say, hey, I'm here to beat these guys. This is why I want to beat these guys, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? So that's neither here nor there. But Chris Paul being out, I think Golden State has a good chance to really get it together. I like Steve Kerr's attitude. Like, yo, you know, I like where we've been at. They've been here before. They were down 3-1 a couple years ago, as we all know. So they're champions. You know, you really can't get old. You really can't sit there and give up on them because they're champions. They didn't lose the last two games, really, you know, by a wide margin. We say, damn, it's over with. You know, Golden State lost by 20 and then they lost by 25. No, they ran out of gas in game four. And game five, they just weren't effective enough. They couldn't make the shots and couldn't make the stops that they needed. Although defensively, they held up their end of the bargain. They just didn't do what was needed. You know what I mean? That's just me observing, looking from the outside in. You know, sticking with the NBA playoffs, move over to the East. You know, Boston's up 3-2. You know, Boston looks good. I'll say this. This isn't the Toronto Raptors. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't the Toronto Raptors. Boston looks great. They're not scared. They're hungry. They want it. But Cleveland needs to do something. You know, Ty Lue needs to make some proper adjustments. Ty Lue should not, when I repeat, he should not keep a guy like Kyle Korver on the bench. If he's still out there, I get it. You know, condolences to Kyle Korver. He's going through a personal tragedy. I believe he lost his brother, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, I know he's going through whatever he's going through. But when a guy's out there, you know, he got a job to do. And he's out there and he wants to play, you know, but you can't play a guy 16, 17 minutes. You know, you got to utilize what you can do. You know, Korver actually played 19 minutes. You know, Ty Lue went into his bench, but he didn't get anything off his bench. You know, you got 8 from Jeff Green, 8 from Jordan Clarkson. LeBron outscored all the starters by himself. You know, Tristan Thompson gives you the double-double in game 4, 13 and 12, and then he gives you 1-6. He's too inconsistent to even have any faith in him, honestly. And I don't really like to talk bad about NBA players because it's like, bro, you're not an NBA player yourself. You're not this, you're not that. And I get it. I'm not saying anything bad. But if I'm observing, I'm going to give my honest opinion. I don't even know if he's effective enough for them, man. I mean, they need to do – it's sad. They, you know, LeBron needs a proper running mate. You know, Dan Gilbert pulled the trigger too fast in that Kyrie Irving deal. Just my opinion. You know, I get it. Kyrie didn't want to beat anymore, but I was going to get at least another year out of him, man. Try to keep this thing going. Maybe we could change his mind. I get it. He wanted to be the man and do his thing and be the focal point. But Dan Gilbert, man, you kind of balked at that one. You know, you dropped the ball on this one. He wasn't leaving. That's just my opinion. I wasn't going to let him go until it was over, and then to send him to a team in the East that you're going to probably have, that you're going to have to face, didn't make any sense either. But whatever, you know, Boston's doing a great job, you know, without Kyrie Irving. But, you know, LeBron needs help. We all know he's a superman. He's a superhuman and he's a superhero out there. But even superheroes need help at times. You know, he definitely needs help. You know, when they got Kevin Love, you was expecting like, oh my God, they got a new big three in Cleveland. But we didn't get the 20. We didn't get the 26 and 12 Kevin Love. You know, he's effective. He's still a great NBA player. He's still doing everything that needs to be done. But when you look at things, you like, you know, his stats are great. You know, 17 and 9 isn't a bad thing. You know, I tell people that all the time. It's not a bad stat line. But prior to coming to Cleveland, like I said, it was 26 and 12. Guy was extremely effective, man. 26 and 12, 26 and 13, you know, in the 2011, 2012. You know, injury bug hit him a lot. But when he got to Cleveland, it hasn't really been those same numbers. And I get it. You're not going to have those numbers playing with a guy like LeBron. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really going to have that. So people can't really expect it or whatnot. But, man, it's just one of those things where I just know, like, okay, you know, Kevin Love could be doing a little bit more. You know, the consistency just isn't there for everybody. You know, hopefully Ty Lue makes the adjustments and shows everybody he's a good coach. Because if not, it's gonna be a lot. You know, they held the Celtics under 40%, but C's kept coming. I tell everybody again, these aren't the Raptors. They aren't scared. These young dudes want to play. They want to ball. And they had to make a statement, man. And I think tonight they can probably do something. I got them winning a series in 7. But I won't be surprised if they finish them off tonight. As far as Boston goes, they're making these statements, man. You know, they're making a statement. They got a great coach. They got a young cast. You know, Jason Tatum's a stud. You know, to watch him step up is a great thing. You know, he should have been the number one pick in the draft. And I also want to find out who's that voter who put him on a second team All-NBA rookie. But that's neither here nor there. I just think that voter was out there trying to make a name for himself and be a troll. Because this kid is nowhere near second team all rookie. This kid is all rookie. He should be getting a little bit more consideration as far as a rookie of the year voting goes. And we know why his numbers aren't through the roof, because he's not the focal point of his team. But it shouldn't just be a two-man race. So Al Horford's a solid vet. Doesn't get enough credit for what he does. He's real solid, real effective. You know, Brad Stevens is a great coach. Marcus Morris is a stud. You know, he gives you what you well, he gives you what he has to give you. Everybody knows their role. Nobody's trying to do more than the other. They're just young. They're just hungry. You know, Jaylen Brown, you know, Marcus Smart. Like I said, they're fearless. They're attacking the Cavs every chance they get. They just got to get a win on the road. They got to find a way to win on the road. But this team is great, man. I like what they're doing. I like what they have, and I like where everything is going with them. So, you know, tonight, game six is tonight back in Cleveland. Game four wasn't convincing enough for me to say Cleveland's going to run away with this. If they can get it together, come out, play smart, don't rush anything, play as a team, play as a unit, they might put an end to LeBron's season. They might put an end to a season. So don't be surprised if that could happen tonight. Yesterday, the NBA announced their all NBA teams. You know, first team was Dame Lillard, James Harden, LeBron James, Ant Davis, and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant, sorry. LeBron James and James Harden were unanimous selections. Second team, you had Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, Giannis, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Joel Embiid. Third team was Steph Curry, Oladipo, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, and Karl-Anthony Towns. Before I go on with this one, I want to say LeBron James made history by making his 12th All-NBA first team. You know, it's a record he shared. He was tied at 11 with Kobe and Karl Malone. The guy keeps getting better and better as time goes on. You know, 33 years old, 15 year in, you know, making history, setting records, doing what he does. You know, the epitome of a professional. So a lot of guys look at him and they may envy. You got to put that work in if you want to be great. So he's definitely a leader. He's a leader of men, you know, great player. And so, you know, got to salute him for that. Then we also had a little debate yesterday. Not a debate. I didn't have a debate personally, but it was people online talking about why did Russell Westbrook not make the first team? Average a triple double again. Why did Dame Lillard make it? Listen, you can't go wrong either way, but some things you kind of have to look at. You know, and I don't know what the voters' deciding factor really was. You know, Westbrook averaged a triple double again for the second straight season. Pretty impressive. Their scoring was close, but everything else, Russ, he outnumbered Damon. You know, he had more assists. You know what? More assists. He had more, you know, more rebounds, obviously, because obviously he's doing what he was doing. But the teams were pretty close as far as victories, one game apart. You know, Russ shot 45%, Dame shot 44%. You know, 10 assists, 10.3 to 6.6 as far as assists in Russ's favor, 10.1 rebounds to 4.5 in Dame's favor. Some people thought it was questionable. I'm not mad. I'm not sitting there saying, you know, Dame didn't deserve it, but I mean, who knows, man? I guess maybe the voters were looking from a standpoint of saying, hey, you had Paul George and you had Carmelo Anthony, two all-stars on your team. You guys should have done more. And if that's the case, then I understand, but still pretty impressive nonetheless. Let's move on to the Sterling Brown thing. I don't really want to sit there and harp on negativity all the time, but it's like, come on, man. Anybody who's seen a video that was released from Milwaukee PD, it shows that they went way overboard. You know, he was parked across two parking spaces, approached by police, eventually tased. You know, you look at the video, you see that they went all overboard. You know, he didn't get crazy. He didn't try to fight them. It was like you call him for backup just because he's questioning things and doing certain things. He was on Good Morning He was on Good Morning America this morning with Robin Roberts, and I have yet to check it out. But it's just like, you know, when is enough enough? And let me just say this, right? People talk a lot about the flag and things like that, and people protesting. Land of the free, home of the brave, right? And land of the free. I mean, I don't know if people really fully understand. Like, I'm free. You know, I can do what I want to do. I can go where I want to go. But as a black man, I do know certain things, certain places where I go, I kind of have to keep my head on the swivel. I know I kind of have to, you know, I know I have to look over my shoulder certain times. I know I have to feel a way. You know, I don't walk out expecting anything to happen. I don't want anything to happen. You know, that's not it. I don't give off the energy where it's like, try me, I'm gonna sue you. I don't want that kind of energy. But bro, I don't know. I don't want to get tasered. I don't want to get approached by police officers at 2 in the morning. I don't want to get approached by anybody. Let me live. I'll let you live, and we good to go. You know, this is ridiculous now. You know, I hate he's going to sue the Milwaukee PD. I hope he sues them. I hope he wins. Even though he's an NBA player, I hope he wins whatever he can win from them. You know, and I think they need to release the names of the officers that did this, because it's like, you're doing this for what? There are good cops out there, but then you have bad cops that do dumb shit like this. You know, you have an NBA player. His name is plastered all over the internet now. And granted, he didn't do anything wrong, but now put their names out there. You know, this is ridiculous. And people kind of they you know, people want to understand. They don't seem to understand why African Americans sometimes are the way they are. Me personally, man, I got my best friends, some of my best friends in the world are white. You get what I'm saying? Like, I don't see color when it comes to that. But at the same time, but at the end of the day, I do know some people will look at me different because of how I look without even getting a chance to know me. And it's sad and it's unfortunate. You know, like, I saw a video on social media the other day, and they had these white ladies teaching their kids, spreading the hate, driving around Arizona, and their dumbasses got caught, and rightfully so, going to the mosque, calling Muslims dirty, calling them this, calling them that, going there, taking mess stuff off their message boards and moving their reading material from the mosque, and woohoo, you know, spewing that hate out there. And it's like, come on, bro, it don't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care. I never cared about that shit, man. It is what it is. You vote for what you vote for, I vote for who I vote for. It whatever. It doesn't matter. But when you got that, you know, people spewing that hate out there, or we're gonna do this again, you know, we're gonna win again in 2020, Donald J. Trump, blah, blah, blah. You know, it just kind of really keeps recycling everything over again, man. And, you know, I say all that to say, man, people kind of understand. Now I hope people kind of understand, like, standing up and not standing up for the anthem. It's not about disrespecting the flag, bro. It's more than that. It's deeper than that, man. You know, but some people will never get it. Why? Because they never have to go through that. You know, when you get pulled to the side and you get called the N-word, and you get patted down, and you get looked at a little bit funny because you fit a description. Now, I fit a description into all my life before, but I haven't made a big deal about it because, you know, I didn't get beat up, I didn't get tased, I didn't get shot. Thankfully, thank God. You know, and I hope I never have to go through that shit. But, you know, some things just aren't really worth it, man. So, and as far as you know, with that flag thing, I'm gonna slide over into the NFL. You know, I think the new policy is ridiculous. You know, my biggest thing is, if you don't, you know, with the whole thing with the anthem, it should have never even been a rule. It shouldn't have been something. How are you gonna make somebody do something they don't want to do? You know, like, this is a part of the new rule. Is, and I quote, "Any team personnel, including players, must stand and show respect for the flag and the anthem if they're on the field at the time," according to the statement. It replaces the previous policy that said players should stand but did not make it required. You know, players who do not want to stand have the option to go in the locker room during the anthem, and there'll be no discipline for doing so. We're not forcing anyone to stand that doesn't feel that's what that doesn't feel like that's within the way of how they feel about particular subjects, Pittsburgh owner Art Rooney II said. But those that are on the field will be asked to stand. Look, most colleges like Notre Dame, they're in the locker room while the anthem is being played. This, you know, just keep it at that. You don't even need to, you know, just keep it at that. Leave people in the locker room, you know, and everybody has the right, if they're on the field or not, to protest this shit, man. It's crazy. Like, it's, you know, protesting the flag is not about the flag. It's about the racial inequality, police brutality, things that go on that, you know, the people that are complaining that'll never have to deal with it. As I said before, when you have to deal with some of these issues, it's when it becomes a problem. You know, when you get stopped, when you get beat up, when you get choked to death, you know, when you're a 12-year-old, as the cases with Tamir Rice and things like that, when you get killed, you know, it's crazy, man. You know what I'm saying? Because you fit a description, a la Trayvon Martin and, you know, George Zimmerman and things like that. So that's the reason for it. I think the NFL dropped the ball with this. They look stupid because of that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's more like you're concerned about your corporate sponsors as opposed to what people really think and what they really feel. You know, and I think that's unfair to the players. And I think it's unfair. That's just my opinion with it. You know, they're just not doing something. They're just not doing it for the right reasons, I think. And I think it sucks. You know what I mean? I just really think it sucks and it's ridiculous. So, you know, I really hope the NFL stops looking at the dollar flow and the cash, you know, the cash flow, and really understand why people are the way they are and why they're doing things a certain way. So that's just me. You know, but I'm sure a lot of people feel that way as well. Let's slide over to the Stanley Cup Finals. So we got the matchup set up. You know, the other night the Capitals, they finally clinched and they came through. You know, usually they've got a history of dropping the ball. Anybody who watches hockey, anybody knows about them, they know they've been dropping the ball for years. You know, they've been heavily favored in a lot of matchups. You know, you got Alexander Ovechkin, one of the best players in the game. What, 9-time All-Star, 3-time Hart Trophy winner, 4 fastest to reach 600 goals. You know, he lived up to the billing after being drafted number one, but he's always choked after. Coming in and going up against Sidney Crosby, those are the two biggest stars in the league. And Crosby kind of distanced himself because he's got a couple of rings on his belt already. You know, Ovechkin has yet to get one. So right now, I think it's still another roadblock because, you know, the Knights aren't a slouch. You know, they started the season, what, 500-1 underdog, which is the case, obviously, because they're a franchise, you know, expansion team. You know, but they got home ice advantage. They beat, they beat the Capitals twice this season. So they got that. Game one is May 28th. I'm gonna go with the Caps just because I think Ovechkin finally steps up. He finally understands what it's like, and he realizes time is running out. You may not get here again. He's had a bunch of meltdowns over previous seasons. You can go back to 2009, second round against the Penguins, 2010, first round against the Canadiens, 2013, first round against the Rangers. Then you got 2015, the second round against the Rangers. So it's been one of those things where he's always choked. He's never really come through the way he should have come through. And now's the time for him to shine. This is basically what happens when you're one of the top athletes in your sport. When you are the guy, now it's the time to show everybody what you're made out of. Now is the time to do it. You want to put yourself, he'll be a Hall of Famer one day, but you want to put yourself in that class with people. I think the Knights are their favorite, like I said, but we'll see what happens. We'll see how well the Capitals advance and, adjust, and if they can kind of make this an interesting series. So before I get out of here, I want to talk about some big news that happened yesterday, came out of Washington. I don't really want to give him credit. I don't want to say his name. Not this guy's name, but I'm gonna talk about Jack Johnson for a minute. First black heavyweight champion in the world. If you don't know about him, Google him, YouTube him, whatever the case may be, to learn a little bit more about him. But he was officially pardoned yesterday, by the celebrity in chief, aka Dope 45. You guys know the rest, right? I don't think it was a genuine gesture. It took a call from Sylvester Stallone, who's a big wig in Hollywood, obviously. If you don't know who Sylvester Stallone is, you weren't raised right. Or you just lived under a rock the last 30, 40 years. But he made a few calls. It couldn't get done under the previous administrations of Bush, Obama, and so forth. Lawmakers really didn't pay much attention. But he got it done. And I'm sure he could care less, but how bad could it be to help out black folks, right, and do something right? Jack Johnson, obviously, a black heavyweight champion during his time, flaunted his wealth. He dated white women, didn't care about it. And, he was a guy that just kind of lived his life. He wasn't letting no racial stereotypes get in the middle of anything. But he was part of the Mann Act of 1913. The Mann Act was the act to further regulate interstate and foreign commerce by prohibiting the transportation therein for immoral purposes of women and girls and for other purposes, a.k.a. prostitution. So he got accused of taking white women across state lines to become prostitutes, So it's whatever, This is... I don't know. It's crazy. So, this guy said, I'm taking a very righteous step. I believe to correct the wrong that occurred in our history to honor a truly legendary boxing champion. The celebrity in chief said at the Oval Office, he was joined by Sylvester Stallone, Lennox Lewis, and Deontay Wilder. He said it was his honor. It was about time. I don't know. It fell on deaf ears, but Jack Johnson definitely deserved his posthumous pardon. It was at a time when the way he lived his life according to how he wanted to live his life. He didn't care about dating within his race. He did what he had to do. Jack Johnson, he died in an automobile accident. He was like 68 or whatever the case may be. But he got wrong. Obviously, he was able to flee up to Canada. A lot of lawmakers kind of turned their heads when it was time to, put him in jail. So he never really sat there, and he was convicted of it, but he didn't do any time because he flew up, he went out to Canada or whatever the case may be, to live his life. And, he ended up getting a car accident in North Carolina or something like that. But I just think it was a gesture that was done, something to kind of make him look good. And he did it because he could do it. So, like I said, something good's got to come out of this, right? So whatever works, right? So look, this is all I really have for you guys today. Tonight's game six with Cleveland and Boston. Hopefully we'll get something out of that, and hopefully we'll see how this works out. Then tomorrow we have Houston and we have Golden State. So it's a big weekend. So looking forward to that. As always, thank you for everything. I appreciate you guys. Shout out to my guys at A Game Podcast. Shout out to my boy Cal, All Things Hoops. Go follow, go support. Cal, we got some things in the works. Cal and I are working together on some big stuff. Just stay tuned. Thank you for everything. I'm sure he offers his support as well. He welcomes all support. Go follow, at Instagram. AllThingsHoops.com. Go follow them, man. It's a pretty big thing. My guys at A-Game, A-Game Podcast, giving you history in the game. So go show love. Thank you for everything. Your boy Jamon Bolton. I'll be back soon, and I'll holler at you guys. Peace.